Fed up with inconsistency around COVID rules, French teachers stage one of their biggest education strikes in decades. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The French government has prioritized keeping schools across the country open despite a recent surge in COVID cases. Teachers, though, say the rules they're expected to follow to keep infection rates low are complicated and they change constantly. Union leaders say around half of primary schools, which are like U.S. elementary schools, are closed today because of the strike action. Emma Pearson, editor of news site The Local in Paris, explains what's angered the nation's educators.
The thing that really sort of sparked it was the actual protocol has changed three times in the last week, and it's just so confusing now. Nobody knows what on earth they're supposed to do. There's three different sets of rules for what you're supposed to do if a kid in your class tests positive. Parents have to be filling in all of these forms. Teachers have to be collecting these forms. And they're cross that this has been changing so regularly and it's so confusing. They're also pretty cross that they're not even being told about this in advance. They're reading it in the papers like everybody else. But I sense that there's also just sort of a general anger that's been building for quite some time. So it's not just about this one quite specific point of the protocol.
And this has more widespread support with the largest parents group encouraging parents to keep kids at home today. How long does it look like this strike action could continue?
Well, it's actually only a one-day strike at the moment, so they're not calling for it to carry on after tomorrow. So it is just a one-day action. I mean, we do have obviously very long-running strikes in France where people just walk out of work and don't come back until a big change is made. I don't think it's that kind of thing. It's really more of an expression of an anger. So it is at the moment just a one-day thing.
And has there been any government response to this?
What the government is basically saying is, look, the situation is changing, so we're trying to adapt the protocol to make it as relevant to the situation that we have today. So obviously things have changed since the beginning of the pandemic. It used to be that if one child in a class tested positive, they closed down the whole class. What they're trying to do is keep schools open as much as possible. That France has had the lowest rate of school closures in Europe, and they're pretty proud of that, that throughout the pandemic they've tried their absolute best to keep schools open, and often other things have been closed. You know, we've seen long periods of closures, bars, restaurants, that kind of thing. And what the government has tried to do is said that, look, education is the priority. We want to keep the schools open. If that means that people's lives are restricted in other ways, then that's the choice we're making. So the protocol is part of that. They want to keep classes open as much as possible. But I think they're starting to accept that they have really messed up in the last week, that yes, it's okay to change things, but you do actually need to tell teachers in advance what you're going to do and try to make it simple for parents. So I think now they're saying, okay, this thought that we've got in place now is going to stay for the foreseeable future.
Emma Pearson from The Local in Paris. Thanks so much for breaking this down for us.
No problem.
Checking the numbers now. Stock benchmarks in London, Paris, Frankfurt, and Milan are little changed this morning. Over in Asia, though, Japan's Nikkei shed 0.9% today after the country said COVID-19 infections reached a four-month high in major cities, including Tokyo and Osaka. Indonesia, the world's biggest exporter of thermal coal, has allowed almost 40 ships loaded with the fossil fuel to depart today. That's as it eases an export ban enacted at the start of the year by a government concerned a lack of domestic supply could lead to blackouts there. The BBC's Nick Marsh has more on that story.
Since the start of the year, coal vessels have been blocked from leaving Indonesia after domestic supply shortages left the country on the brink of widespread power cuts. But now the world's largest exporter of thermal coal says that those companies who fulfill legal obligations to sell a quarter of their output at a cut price at home will be allowed to set sail. Today's vessels are bound for Asian countries heavily reliant on Indonesian coal, such as the Philippines and Japan, who had previously described the ban as bewildering.
That's the BBC's Nick Marsh reporting there. To Sri Lanka now, a nation in the midst of an economic crisis that's led to shortages of food and fuel. Instead of going to the International Monetary Fund for help, it said this week it's looking to China for another loan to help ease the pressure. But as the BBC's Anbarasan Etirajan reports from Colombo, the economic situation has already made life very difficult for people across the country.
Niluka Dilrukshi is adjusting to the new reality. Until recently, she was using a cooking gas cylinder to prepare food for her four children. But now, firewood is her only option. Her husband is a day wage laborer. With the rising cost of essential items, they are struggling to make ends meet.
Cooking gas cylinder prices have almost doubled, and we cannot afford it anymore. I used to provide fish and vegetables daily to my children. Now we are giving them one vegetable with rice.
A busy vegetable market here in Colombo. Most shops, people are bargaining to reduce the price, and many of them openly complain about the sharp rise in the prices of the vegetables, which have almost doubled in certain cases in the last 2 years. The pandemic has made matters worse. Vital income in sectors like tourism has taken a big hit. Deshal Dimel is an economist.
I think it is probably quite close to a point where there is a lack of further tolerance of this level of price escalation on food prices in particular.
Sri Lanka has been borrowing heavily to boost its economy and infrastructure over the years, especially after the end of the civil war in 2009. The country now faces a huge debt burden. Its external debt now exceeds $45 billion. Harsha De Silva, an opposition MP, says Sri Lanka is in deep trouble.
We've been living beyond our means, absorbing more than we've been producing. We have large debt payments coming up, and we are rapidly losing reserves.
The government has been under severe criticism, but the Sri Lankan junior finance minister, Shehan Semasinghe, says their options are limited.
We had to go into a restriction of imports, because the pressure on our current account as well as on our trade deficit was increasing due to the pandemic situation. But as a responsible government, we need to manage it. One thing, we have to make the stuff available at an affordable price.
The government has dispatched its ministers to several capitals desperately seeking loans. But it's seen as a firefighting exercise rather than a long-term solution to the crisis. With further import restrictions and escalating costs, many Sri Lankans are facing a bleak prospect.
That's the BBC's Anbarasa Natarajan reporting from Colombo there and in London. I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.